Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I am your host, Rick Wolf. Back in June of this year, I did a show in which I asked a fairly simple, fairly straightforward question. And the response was so impressive that I promised myself that day that I would come back to revisit that topic. And, well, today is that day. The question, what do you think is the biggest issue confronting youth and amateur sports today? Now, take a moment. Think about the various headlines that confront sports parents and coaches and educators in the year 2017. What do you think is the most pressing problem for sports parents and the kids who play sports these days? And, of course, I'll take calls at our toll-free line at 1-877-337-6666. That is brought to you by Mohegan Sun. Unlimited possibilities await you at Mohegan Sun. Plan your stay at MohiganSun.com. Now, think about these issues. Is it the concern about concussions in contact sports? Not just, obviously, football, but soccer, lacrosse, you name it. Is it not knowing what's the right age to have your child begin to specialize in just one sport? What about travel teams? That is it important to have your kid compete on a travel team? And if so, at what age? Are you concerned about certain travel sports in which a travel program says a youngster has to choose between playing for their high school team or for their travel squad? In fact, what about the overall impact of travel teams? Do you feel they're replacing or supplanting traditional high school varsity sports? And what about the rising cost and expense of having your kid playing a travel team? Lots of recent articles say that travel teams have become the domain of only the wealthy. Or perhaps it's the rising concern about so many kids becoming overweight or obese. Experts point to the staggering popularity of video games, e-games as they're known. Kids love them, can't seem to get enough of them. Obviously, sitting in front of a video screen doesn't do much for one's physical conditioning. And what about the rise in homeschooling athletes? I was just reading the other day where a family up in Rockland County homeschooled their teenage tennis player. She traveled all over the country over the last 2 years playing at tournaments and ultimately earned a full scholarship to Rutgers. Is homeschooling, is that kind of approach going to become more and more the norm, especially for those sports which are focused more for the individual as opposed to team sports? Or maybe it's the increasingly common position that that everyone gets a trophy just for signing up, or that student-athletes get all sorts of second, third, and fourth chances in our world of sports where they do something stupid. That is, there's less and less worry these days about kids and accountability. I mean, these are issues that we have to cope with all the time when we talk about our kids in sports. And, you know, these are complicated issues. And I'm asking you this morning, what do you think is the most pressing of all of these? For example, when do we expect our kids to finally come be more aware of the implications of social media and what that can do or how that can harm their image and their athletic career? And, of course, again, what was I mentioned at the top of just a few minutes ago, are football, concussion sports, are they going to eventually fall by the wayside? Are we going to see this gradual decline of kids playing football? Is that going to continue? I mean, it's interesting. Okay, 1-877-337-6666. There are a lot of topics. I just mentioned a few here to get the ball rolling. I'm curious to get your sense, and let's start this morning. Let's go to Chris in Westchester. Chris, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hey, good morning. I was talking about, like, high school sports and the programs themselves that in Europe, they don't have high school sports. They have club sports.
Right, correct.
And, you know, one turns is, and as you know, as a taxpayer too, and I'm an official. The budgets just keep rising, and even you know, and a lot of it's for school taxes is the major problem.
Well, Chris, that's an interesting observation. First of all, of course, mentioned you're an official yourself when it comes to sports. We already know that it's more and more difficult every year to get more and more refs and umpires and officials because a lot of them just sort of say, I don't want to deal with the abuse that I get from parents or spectators or coaches. So it's always difficult to fill the rosters of officials. But beyond that, as you said, you know, in terms of the taxpayers, maybe they're going to finally say, you know what, I don't see why we should spend so much of our money into taking care of sports programs at local high schools. The kids are a good athlete. Let them go play outside the school. Just like you say, like in Europe, they don't have school teams in Europe. They all have club teams, which the parents support. So these are typical the kind of issues I was hoping you'd raise. Chris, what do you think about the mention about the officials and how it's hard to get these guys to fill the rosters every year? Is that something you've seen?
Yeah, we're trying to get younger officials in, but it's hard. First of all, the pay is low, and like you said, the abuse is high. It's not only coming, you know, you touched on all the people that it comes from. It's coming from the players now, too, because they see the coaches and the parents being abusive to officials, and they think it's okay to do.
Oh, well, I would think, I would like to think that if the officials or refs or umpires are being verbally abused by a high school kid, they would just blow the whistle and say, time out, that's it. You know, that's not necessary. You're either give them a warning, a strict warning, or say, you're gone. We don't tolerate that kind of nonsense. Because once kids cross that line, and maybe they do that, for example, as you say, because they've been influenced by watching parents or coaches be abusive towards the refs, you're going too far. You can't let the kids run the program because they think that's the way it's supposed to be.
Oh, yeah. You can't have the inmates run the asylum.
Yeah, I hear you. But these are good points, Chris, and I agree with you. Somewhere down the road, I think you're going to begin to see a tipping point where more and more of the school districts are going to say, you know, our best athletes are no longer playing on our school teams. They've opted out for travel programs. So let's just cut back and save a lot of money by not having to sponsor high school traditional sports. If the kids want to play sports, they can go play somewhere else because, honestly, it's getting to be too expensive. And, of course, we know that that money is always a major concern, particularly with public schools. Chris, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let me move on to let's go to Justin over in Nutley. Justin, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good. How are you, Justin? What do you think is the biggest problem in sports today?
I mean, to be honest with you, the rising cost of college expenses is, I think, creating some of these delusions of grandeur from parents' end where they think that their kid's going to have to get a college scholarship or they're going to earn a college scholarship. So it affects it affects the way that these kids think from many different levels, and it just... And listen, I wish my daughters earned a college scholarship, but I think some of the parents maybe take it way too far because there's a lot of pressure to pay for it. So in terms of whether it be specializing or putting too much pressure on their kids or, you know, just the way that my father would have handled me back in the late 80s, it might be much different now because of the pressure. Listen, I can't pay for college, so you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do this. And maybe it's just taking the fun out of just being a kid and trying to grow up and play sports. There's a lot of different levels. I mean, I'm not going to waste a lot of your time, but I'm sure you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
It affects it on many different areas for the kids, for the parents, you know, putting pressure on high school coaches, putting pressure on, you know, youth and travel coaches. There's a lot of pressure, and the end game is always that college scholarship where you know as well as I, the percentage that kid's going to earn is very, very low.
Justin, this has become I'm gonna thank you for the call. This is obviously a topic we discussed over the years on this show, and yes, we're well aware. If you have a youngster who plays sports and you know down the road that he or she wants to go to college, as a sports parent, you're going to fantasize about maybe my kid will be that one that does get some sort of college scholarship, and that'll help defray some of the costs. But, you know, the reality is, and I always have to remind parents about this, that, first of all, with the exception primarily of football and basketball, most of the athletic scholarships are sliced and diced in such a way that they're only going to cover a portion of a kid's college tuition. And, you understand, too, that the fact is that the parents, the question is, your kid may be a superstar within your region, and a kid is really great within this particular county or section, whatever it might be. But you have to bear in mind that, if your kid, say your kid's a terrific ice hockey player and he's really a star, in this area. Yeah, but kids play hockey all over the country now, not just in the traditional hotbeds like Massachusetts or Minnesota or Michigan or places like that. They now play all over the country, out in California, Arizona. And the fact is, while your kid may be a real hot prospect in this area, he or she is competing against kids, all over the country, all over the world. So the odds of really getting a scholarship, man, oh, man, it's like you might as well play, the lottery system because the odds are about the same. It's very, very difficult not only to get a scholarship, but certainly to get a full scholarship. It's just you're better off taking that extra money you have instead of buying your kid, more private tutoring or send them to a specialized camp or something. Put it into a 529 and let them think about college because you're going to pay for it because that's the reality. It's as simple as that. All right, we're talking about this issue about what is the biggest problem today with youth sports. There are a lot of various facets to this, and I'm curious to get your thoughts at 1-877-337-6666. I'm going to take a break. Dave Uram has And welcome back to the Sports Edge. We're talking this morning about what do you feel is the most pressing topic, concern, issue when it comes to youth sports today and amateur sports as well. A generation ago, it wasn't that complicated, but it sure is complicated these days, whether it has to do with the impact of travel teams, the expense of travel teams, when a kid should specialize in a sport. What about everything from concussions and on it goes. And we're taking your calls at 1-877-337-6666. Let's go to our friend Ed over in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Ed, good morning. What do you think is the biggest problem?
Okay, I got a few things. So the biggest problem I feel are overbearing parents.
Okay.
And the social media. And I'm going to show you something about social media.
Uh-huh.
I know someone who got offered a baseball scholarship, and it was a pretty good package. So now he puts on social media the school he's attending and what his total package was.
Yep.
Now you got jealous parents on that team who are all upset on that because the college is also recruiting a couple of their players. Instead of keeping it quiet like they should, they all of a sudden it opens up a can of worms on that. So again, social media. And then with the overbearing parents, they need to have a reality check on certain things. I mean, they all want to be Division I, but it doesn't happen a lot of times.
Of course.
They should look at the other levels on it. I mean, yesterday, I'm working a hitting camp yesterday, work with some kids. And it's not my camp, where now a father's coming over every time his kid was in the cage. When he comes out, he's giving him instructions. Where if it was my camp, I had the parents in a certain area, and I tell them, don't even leave that area. Well, I'm going to send your kid home. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's just crazy with things. But getting back to the umpiring, or the officiating, why that's happened. You don't have enough officials who have the guts to tell people to tone it down. For example, I'm a high school varsity umpire. This will be my 38th year coming up. And if I hear any crap out of the dugout, one of the things I say is this. I always know who the best player is. I go right over to the dugout and I say who the best player is. Here's the deal. The next time it opens his mouth, you're getting thrown out. And guess what? All the crap ends, Rick.
Well, you know, Ed, it's curious you mentioned that because people have told me in recent years that particularly at the travel team level, it seems as though the officials, the umps, whatever, they give a little more leeway to kids who pop off and say things they shouldn't say. And then when the kids go back and play at the high school level, where it's strictly law and order, they're stunned and amazed when if they say something or disagree with a call and the umpire says, "Up, oh, that's it, you're gone, this is zero tolerance." The kids don't understand that, well, I could do this with my travel team. How come at the high school level I can't?
Well, see, here's a big thing too, Rick. And again, I coach travel baseball myself.
Okay.
There's a lot of travel teams. I'm gonna make an honest statement on it. They're there for the check. They let the kids play. The kids can do what they want. I mean, I've seen it when I coach. Where I know when I coach, my team's got discipline. I don't want them saying nothing to the umpire. I want them wearing a uniform the right way. I want them being on time. And you know, these are things that maybe it doesn't show on the baseball, but when it gets to real life and they got to go to work and they're not on time, and all of a sudden the boss docks them pay, then they'll realize, if you know what I mean.
Well, it is real world stuff, and I can tell you that college coaches, when they're recruiting, they're watching this to see how a kid deals with some adversity and a bad call, and whether the kid grouses and puts
Absolutely.
On a show. I mean, that's something that I don't think the kids and their parents understand. And Ed,
well, one more thing, Rick, and then I'll let you go.
Yeah.
They, not only that, college coaches are watching how the parents act
at
a game. You know, and they're always checking their Twitter accounts to see what type of stuff is on their Twitter accounts, because if they see the Twitter accounts, they're going to stop recruiting the kids.
I can tell you, as a college coach who recruited for many years, Ed, that once you looked and you saw a player to see how good he was, you also did your homework on the parents as well, because you wanted to see what you were basically. Because when you recruit a kid, you're also recruiting the kid's mother and father, basically, to your program. So you want to say, you want to make sure. I don't want to deal with phone calls and emails from mom and dad every night about their kids' playing time, and that's at the college level. So
absolutely.
Ed, thanks for the call. Let me run off.
Have a good day, Rick.
You too. Take care. And Ed's in the middle of this, and he sees what's going on, and his points are valid. I think it's. He makes excellent contributions to the show. Let's go to AJ over down in Princeton, New Jersey. AJ, how are you?
Hi, great, Rick. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
Rick, I've got more of a grassroots kind of an answer that I know you can relate to. But first, let me just say, my feeling about cell phones or smartphones and that whole thing. I think it's ruining society. And getting kind of to my answer, by the time I was 10 years old, I played baseball, football, hockey. I took up golf. A couple of years later, I took up tennis. I mean, sports was just such a big part of my upbringing and just my whole growth. I'm in my early 60s right now.
Yep.
This morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, I was out on my bike in the dark. I mean, I only do about a 10-minute sprint, but I do this in the morning before I go to work. It's a lifestyle. And I'm just so glad that it started at a young age. Kids today just don't have that. I mean, we had neighborhoods where we had everybody kind of get together and play. You don't have that anymore. So it's a whole lifestyle thing. Sports are important. And the byproducts of competition, adversity, all those things you said. And, I'm just, I guess it's one of those good things I did for myself early on. But I don't see a substitute for it. I'm a sports nut. I'm hooked on the thing. And kids today, they're hooked on something different. And, again, they're going to become couch potatoes, and they're going to be fat. And, what are you going to do when you're in your 50s and 60s? I heard an expression a couple of years ago that stays with me. If you don't take care of your body, where are you going to live?
Yeah. AJ, I know this is – it's a very, very – very smart observation, and I'm growing up after I play high school and college and pro sports. You still want to. It's your lifestyle. You get up. You want to go out and play touch football. You want to go out and play in a pickup basketball game, whatever it might be. Kids today, I'm not sure they do that. I think they sort of say, "Well, I paid my dues with sports, and now I'm done. Now I can just sit around and sit in front of a computer or play fantasy sports, to watch other kids basically compete. I mean, it's just odd. I don't know. I mean, we've seen a real dearth, for example, of kids playing sports after their playing career is over, meaning that they don't go, for example, and play semi-pro baseball anymore. Those leagues are pretty much just drying up. I guess they're going to play softball or other things. We know that the enrollment or interest in playing golf has dropped off considerably in recent years. I don't know where these guys go, but they aren't playing. It's not a lifestyle, as you say, for their entire lives. They're just sort of walking away from activities, physical activity, which gets into, and AJ, thank you for the call this morning. You know, it gets into the more of the sense of like, well, if you're going to be an athlete, you just don't stop when you're 15 or 20 or 25. You want to keep that sense of being healthy for your entire life, doing things that are good for you. Let's move on. Let's go to Chris up in Ridgefield, Connecticut. Hey, Chris, you're on the Fan.
Hey there, how you doing?
Guess, Chris.
My comment. I'm a teacher in Westchester County, but I grew up in the West Coast, and I played all sports starting in junior high.
Uh huh.
So I sampled every sport as a seventh grader in a junior high system on the West Coast, and no one was ahead of me. You know, I had a pretty even playing field. My own son played baseball, you know, in Little League and showed some promise, so he liked it. We put him into other, you know, off-season baseball. But by the time he was 12 years old, the pressure got to him because he was a high-performing player that was a specialist. And I think that's the thing that's wrong with youth sports. I think we need to, I mean, we can't reverse the system, but if I could reverse it, my advice would be that we go back more to the early 70s where you kind of, you just got together with your friends, played games, you know, of all types. Then when you did all your organized sports through your school system, and you were introduced to them at that level. The kids now are so specialized by the time they're 10 years old. My son was interested in lacrosse too far behind.
Yeah,
he didn't start.
That's one of those situations, Chris, where, you know, the sense of specialization at such an early age. I mean, a generation ago, there were a lot of kids who were, if they were good athletes, they played three sports in high school. Mm-hmm. And now we see that doesn't happen so much anymore, that the kid, as you said, the kids and the parents are led to believe that, well, you know, you're a good athlete, and I'm glad you played, say, baseball when you were younger, but now you want to switch from baseball to lacrosse, and now you're 11 or 12 years old, which is still, you know, very young, and you're told, well, you're already several years behind your peers who have played a lot of travel lacrosse by the time they're 12, so you're never going to have a chance to catch up. I first of all, I'm not sure that's really true, but you know, it's just, as you say, the specialization. Most of the top pro athletes I've spoken to over the years, they played a variety of sports growing up because they were good athletes. And they didn't really specialize until they were probably 14 or 15, which makes them freshmen or sophomores in high school. And even though they might have specialized in one sport or had one sport that was their favorite, they still continued to play other sports in high school. So I hear you. I don't know how to stop that or prevent that, because I think parents still believe or buy into this concept that, gee, if my kid's going to be good in one sport, let's have them play at one sport all year round, because that'll give them a leg up on their competitors. And I think that's just sort of robbing the kid of a chance to play other activities when they're young.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. Is that, well, I observed this firsthand because my son had a friend who was a good hockey player.
Yep.
And he wanted to come on and play as a 10-year-old. And believe it or not, this kid was not a bad athlete, but he couldn't keep the game straight because so many of these kids had already played since they were six altogether. So I think, you know, I noticed that kid, he came in and out of the team. He did play one season with us. But I have two acquaintances who played collegiate and professional lacrosse.
Yeah.
And I asked one of them because he saw my son play, and he goes, he's really fast. He'd be a great lacrosse player. And he goes, but if he doesn't start now, I don't think he's going to be able to do it. And I you know, the pressure there, because of the crossover in the seasons, we never did it. And my son actually got very disillusioned with sports because of the pressure he felt as a specialist. He was a base stealing specialist and a, you know, one of these kinds of kids in all-star games. And the pressure kind of it soured him on the sport, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
He got a bad coach at the end, which was unfortunate because he had amazing coaches throughout our youth system here in Connecticut. But at the end, he was actually turned off by the pressure cooker of an all-star game where he was supposed to go in and, like, save the day, and he got tired of it. And that was fine, I guess, because you're not going to push him any farther. But
well,
that's a shame.
It is a shame, Chris. And I will tell you that that's another component that I think parents today don't really understand or grasp, and that is the inherent pressure that their kids are going through at very, very young ages. And Chris, thank you for the call this morning.
Yep.
You know, the sense is that when looking back, Chris was relating growing up in California, he played a variety of sports, and I can also relate to that as well. You know, there was no pressure when you were 10 years old or 8 or 12 or even 13. The pressure began probably when you got into 8th or 9th grade and you started saying, well, I want to make a varsity team. That's pressure. But by the time you're 13 or 14, you have a pretty good sense of your own self-esteem and what you can and can't do on an athletic field. But kids today at such a young age are being exposed to this kind of do or die, you got to make the team, you got to perform. That's not productive. And kids eventually begin to sort of say, well, you know what, maybe I'll just walk away from this because I don't like having to deal with the pressure of always having to perform at top level.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Hey, don't forget, at 9 o'clock this morning, it is Football Sunday. Mark Melusis and Dave Deal will be here, and of course, we'll be telling you all the thoughts and comments, observations about, I believe it's week 13 in the National Football League. And as always, I invite you to check out my website at AskCoachWolf.com. By the way, just a reminder that if you'd like to have me come into your town to talk about sports parenting issues, the best way to do that is to find the link on my website. And I will tell you, when I do a sports parenting presentation, I focus directly on the specific or particular issues that your group or sports league is having. I don't do a standard cookie-cutter, one-size-fits-all kind of approach. Rather, I hold interactive sessions where parents, coaches, make their concerns known to me, and then we basically address those issues together. Again, just go to AskCoachWolf.com. We're discussing this morning about what's the most pressing issue or development in youth or amateur sports today. There are a lot of them, and we're getting some great thoughts and comments from the callers. 1-877-337-6666. Let's go to John in White Plains. John, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Big fan. I got your book, Sports Parenting Edge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for that,
sure.
John. I'll be talking about that more in the weeks to come, but thank you for getting a copy of that.
Anyway, I'll be quick. After having gone through it, you know, there's some things, you know, like heart can't be measured when kids are under 10. Athleticism isn't on the same plane because others can mature faster. I think educating the parents is crucial, much like you're doing with your seminars there.
Mm-hmm.
Inform them of these shortfalls.
You know, it's funny you mention that, John, because it's somehow, I mean, parents, I guess maybe they get so consumed or so obsessed with making sure their kids are making progress on the athletic ladder that they somehow forget when they were teenagers and that adolescence, you know, is such a huge impact that, as you said, if the kid has the passion when they're 6 or 7 or 8 and that passion stays with them, that even if they're smaller or they haven't grown yet, by the time they go through adolescence, they're going to change dramatically. So the question then becomes is if they still want to keep playing, but, you know, they can be shut down very quickly if that passion is diminished by parents or youth programs that don't understand that it's a long-term kind of situation. You know, and I John, thank you for the call this morning. I think that's something that where I think moms and dads have to bear in mind that things change dramatically when a kid goes through puberty. And as I said, you know, I've seen this firsthand. We all have. Kids who are small suddenly grow 6-7 inches. Some kids who are slow get fast. Some kids who are fast are just become average. It changes the whole landscape of sports. And it doesn't happen when they're 6 or 8 or 10. It happens when they're 12, 13, or 14. Let's move on. Let's go out to Pennsylvania to Rich in Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, talking about athletes who didn't specialize. Rich, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. As we speak, I'm taking my son to baseball practice, and we're going to see, I have two comments, a five-year-old boy receiving personal private instruction hitting. Now, I doubt whether the kid actually said to his parents, I need private instruction, and the parents sit there and they're spending $125 an hour for the four, you know, a coach to toss the ball in their hand and work with a swing and all this. That to me is preposterous. Now to move over to my son, he's a travel baseball player on the small field for years. He's not quite into the adolescent size yet,
mm-hmm.
but he was removed from his team basically because he wasn't big enough and the coach thought he couldn't produce on the big field. So we moved him to another team, and he's doing fine on the big field, but he's still a relatively smaller kid. But there are literally 12-year-old boys at 6'1". You know, my kid's nowhere near that size. So I'm going to agree with you on that adolescent thing, that all these judgments are made on what a kid can or can't do. And when they move to the big field, it's unforgiving because, you know, your fly ball to left field is now a pop-up to shortstop.
Correct.
And the bases are much longer, and the pitchers are better in throwing curveballs. And there's a transition period there between, you know, 12-year-old and 15-year-old. By the time I think when you're 15, then you kind of know what a kid can do on the big field. But it's they're making decisions now on size of the kids, strength of the kids. Well, and it is about winning. It's not about developing, unfortunately, because they want trophies. You know, they want trophies.
I can tell you, Rich, that I would say there's a huge drop-off of ball players, young ball players, when they migrate from the smaller field into the larger field. As you said, kids who have been pretty good ball players at the smaller dimensions, suddenly they what used to be a long fly ball to left field now, as you say, is a pop-up to short.
Right.
And the reality is kids get frustrated, and they don't know what their future is going to be. It seems like they've been betrayed by their parents, like, well, I was just getting good when I was 11 or 12, and now you took me on this giant field, and now I can't do anything. I'm listening to your story. I remember my son went through this, but you know, my son, you know, eventually got to the point where, like most kids do, they grow and they get bigger and stronger and faster. And after a while, the transition's made. But on the other side of the coin, Rich, Jose Altuve. I mean, you know, Freddie Pontek.
I mean, right.
When these coaches evaluate players, I mean, Altuve was, I guess, 16 or 17.
Right.
And he was a small guy, and the scouts told him, nah, you're too small, go away. And then he came back the next day and snuck into the tryout, and they had different scouts there, and he put on quite a show. So we know in baseball.
And now he's the most valuable player.
Yeah, I mean, like, oh, if I was going to start a franchise, I'd pick up Jose Altuve. Yeah, but, here's, you know, 10 years ago, he's too small to play. I mean, it's just bizarre. That's why good coaches, guys who really take the time to evaluate and aren't superficial, realize that kids, you have to be able to project them not just where they are today, but where they're going to be in 5 or 10 years. I mean, it's easy to scout on Aaron Judge. The kid's 6'7". But, I mean, the smaller – and most ball players are average size. So I'm telling you, it's you know, when pro scouts do their job, they give a kid an evaluation as of today and what they're going to be, what they project they're going to be in 4 or 5 years. So, again, it's difficult. And unfortunately, parents and kids go through this, and you know it's not always the right way to do this because you're not getting a fair objective kind of evaluation, and that's a problem.
And then I'm going to say one more thing: that no scout is going to watch a 13-year-old kid play because he's just not developed yet. He's adjusting to the big field, and they don't want to look at anybody until he's kind of like 15 or 16. And then maybe he's hit the size and the strength that he can play with. So I think we're being a little unfair to the kids by putting this pressure on them at 13, and they got to produce whatever size they are.
As I said to the previous caller, the added pressure that the parents or expectations the parents unknowingly put on their kids is not fair. And your point, you know, scouts don't really pay attention to kids until they're 15 or 16. It's simple as that because, honestly, you know, for one thing, the kids are still small, developing. They're going through a growth spurt, and they're just – it's just – too many factors are involved before you can make a real effective kind of evaluation. And I will tell you this, Rich, and thank you for the call this morning. You know, when you look at kids as and you're trying to project them as athletes, you look to so that when they're 13 or 12, you're looking for athletic instincts, for the grace in which they go about their activities. Do they are their motions fluid? Are they look like they have real athletic grace? That's what you're looking for, because you figure as they get older, the skills will begin to develop. But if they're blessed with those kind of sort of those smooth moves and actions, that's a pretty good indication. But you can't really make any evaluations when a kid is 10 or 12, or kids taking batting lessons when they're 5. That's pretty young. All right.
Radio.com.
Well, we're having a fairly spirited conversation this morning about what are the most pressing issues when it comes to kids and youth sports and amateur sports in this country. And, you know, once upon a time, it wasn't that long ago, all the issues that we talked about this morning, they weren't a problem. I mean, kids went out in the backyard, sandlots, recess at school, and they played pickup games, and they played sports, and they played sports according to whatever season it might have been. And the fact is that the kids, you know, to them, the biggest accomplishment was to go and play for your local high school varsity team and get a varsity jacket and get a varsity letter. That was a big, big deal. There were no travel teams. Yeah, kids knew about colleges and college scholarships, but that was, you know, way off for in the distance. Playing pro ball was really just something, you know, way, way beyond that. But, of course, that's all changed now. And maybe, as we said today, maybe some of the issues and the phone calls have been great. You know, the issues about paying for college. And college has gotten unbelievably expensive. And it is necessary to educate moms and dads who may not be aware of the fact that there are very few athletic scholarships that are full rides. It's only for football and basketball. And there are a few other exceptions to that, of course, but most of them are just partial scholarships. And the money you're putting into your kid to play in travel teams and travel around the countryside to play, it may not be a good investment for them, because remember, every parent is sort of thinking the same thing about their kids. So it's unbelievably competitive. But you know, some of the issues that I'm looking at and focusing on personally, yeah, the concussion issue is a real concern. The football numbers, kids playing high school football, the numbers continue to go down, as there is no cure at this juncture to prevent or concussions from happening. There are no helmets. There have been great improvements with helmets to protect the heads, but there's no way to prevent concussions. They still exist. And I do think that that's going to be a problem, particularly as more and more kids specialize in sports. You're going to find more and more school districts begin to wonder that, well, maybe we don't need to have a high school football team anymore. Kids are going to play on a travel football team. Or for that matter, we should just follow a European model and just eliminate all high school varsity sports. If a kid's a good athlete, let him go play for a travel team. We don't need to have high school sports anymore. We'll save a lot of money in terms of getting rid of coaching salaries and so on and so forth. I think that's a real concern that parents aren't aware of. Or you might see, as I said, a growing increase in homeschooling. If kids are specializing in one sport, I don't have to go play for the high school team. Social media continues to be a real problem. I don't understand why kids can't figure this out. Then when they tweet something stupid, it doesn't go away. It can really, really hurt them. And the other thing, as we know, with science research continues, I mean, I'm sure I read about this in places where we're seeing more and more research into figuring out kids, you know, what's going to be, according to their DNA, what's the best sport for them to play as they develop. I'm sure we're going to see more and more exuberant sports parents try to figure out what's best for their kids to specialize in when they're just 1 or 2 years old. I think that's the future when it comes to sports and our kids. Oh, my gosh. Okay, that's it for me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.